We turn tonight to Joshua, but my text is found in the book of Hebrews and chapter 11. We have before us the well-known story of Jericho, the walls coming down, and the great miracle happened there at the beginning of the entry into Canaan. Most people, even in the world, know this story, although there is the story of the little boy in Sunday school, when the Sunday school teacher asked him, "Who knocked the walls of Jericho down?" His reply was, "I didn't." He must have had a guilty conscience that day about something else. But the amusing thing was, the teacher, a bit later on, told the story about the little boy to someone else. And the person said, "Well, if he had knocked the walls of Jericho down, I'm sure the church would have provided the money to rebuild them again." Well, that is ignorance, isn't it? So there we are. Well, my text, Hebrews chapter 11, and we find in verse 30 these great words: "By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Now, of course, that verse is of great interest. Verse 28 speaks about the Passover. That's when they were still in Egypt. And then it talks in verse 29 about the crossing of the Red Sea. And both at the Passover there was faith, and the crossing of the Red Sea there was faith. But in between the crossing of the Red Sea and the faith that they use in the coming of the walls of Jericho coming down, there is no faith. What characterized the 40 years in the wilderness? Well, we all know, don't we? Unbelief. Unbelief. But here, this new generation, it says, "By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days." Now, it's interesting. We learned one thing, that they obeyed what we read about in Joshua chapter 6. They did exactly what the Lord said. They were to encircle the walls of Jericho for 7 days. It's also interesting, verse 31, which we thought about when I spoke about Rahab. "By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she received the spies in peace." Notice, Rahab believed, but the rest of Jericho didn't believe. They had the same information that the children of Israel were coming. They were trembling in their boots because of all they heard the Lord had done for them in crossing of the Red Sea and bringing them out of Egypt. But they believed not. And Rahab was saved, but the rest of the people of Jericho perished. Now, my little title will be "The Day the Walls Came Down." The days the walls came down. Joshua chapter 6. Now let me try and set the scene so we see the spiritual emphasis and lessons from our chapter. If you're a Christian, I want to remind you, there was a time when you were like Jericho. You were like Jericho before you were converted. Notice how our chapter starts. "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in." This great city was firmly closed. Now the walls were very high. They were very wide. And the gates of Jericho were firmly closed, so none could come in and no could come out. Do you know something? That's exactly what we were like before we were Christians. We were like a stronghold, all shut up, and closed to the things of God. Until the Lord, in his irresistible way, came and broke every barrier down and opened the doors of our hearts, and we came and surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. The night I became a Christian, I sat right at the back of this hall. I wasn't used to going to Christian meetings at all, so we sat right at the back to make a quick getaway. I had a bit of a smile about all the singing that went on, but when we were finished, they sung a hymn. Now, I'd never heard this hymn in my life before. Just as I am, without one plea. And I knew that night what the preacher had said was right. I was a sinner. Never thought about that before. I needed a saviour. Never thought about that before. And I knew I needed that night to become a Christian. Now, at the end of the service, they did sing Just As I Am. And they gave out what they called an altar call. I don't believe in altar calls today, but I did on that night. Because that's the only way I knew what I needed to do to become a Christian. And as we got, I think, to the fourth verse, which said, Just as I am, my love unknown has broken every barrier down. Now to be thine, yea, thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come. And I did. I didn't understand much. I came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was the day in my life when the walls came down and my heart was opened. That was way back in the month of March, 1969. Well, that dates me, doesn't it? But what a wonderful thing is to know the miracle of conversion. And we say this: every unbeliever is like a stronghold. In fact, they're in the stronghold of Satan. They're in the kingdom of darkness, all locked up. And they firmly refuse and reject the call of the gospel. We live in a day where many are in this stronghold of unbelief. They'll believe anything except the gospel. There are some in the stronghold of false religion. Some are in the watchtower, the Jehovah's Witnesses, and that is a stronghold. And other cults as well. They're all locked up in the prison of unbelief. Some are in the stronghold of self-righteousness. Oh, don't call me a sinner, they say. I don't need a saviour. I'm a good, upright person. I go to church every Sunday. They're in the stronghold of self-righteousness. Just before COVID, I was preaching in the open air at Bedworth. And a man came up to me. It was eyeball to eyeball. He said, I'm going to punch you in the face. I kept my calm. And I said, and smiled at him, I said, well, that'd be a silly thing to do, wouldn't it? Wondering what he'd do next. And then he went, did this. He says, I haven't sinned. I haven't sinned. I haven't sinned. He was like a parrot in a cage. What was he doing? He was justifying himself. He was in a stronghold of his own self-righteousness. He was rejecting the gospel. But here we read in our great text in Hebrews chapter 11, those great walls of Jericho, the great gates of Jericho, it says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed 7 days. Now, I want to observe several things about this faith once again. We're going to talk about faith and in the light of our chapter. Number one. I want to speak to you about the assurance of faith. Now, I deliberately read those verses, already been spoken about. You remember how at the end of chapter 5, Joshua meets with the one who is the captain of the Lord of hosts. And Joshua, though he was captain of Israel, the leader of Israel, he had to learn there was a greater captain, a greater leader than himself. And of course, it's a vision, it's a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ appearing to him. And you know, if you're going to know any victory in the Christian life, if you know what it's going to be to escape the stronghold of your unbelief, you need to know Christ as your Saviour. He is the great victor. He gives victory to men and women. And here we see Joshua on his face before the captain of the Lord of hosts, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at chapter 6 and verse 2. The Lord is speaking to him, and he says this: "And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor." The Lord is assuring Joshua of victory. In the sight of the Lord, Jericho is as good as fallen. And he wants Joshua to understand that as his men go to Jericho, the Lord is going to bring the walls of Jericho down. He's going to give a tremendous victory to the people of Israel. Now that's a tremendous thought. Jericho will be defeated. Do we all realize what is happening in our land? There is militant atheism. I won't go into all the details, but four letters or five letters, you know what I'm about. These are powerful enemies in our nation today. There is false religion, false philosophies of life. The power of the evil one is prominent everywhere you look. And here we are, just a few weak evangelical Christians who believe the Bible to be the Word of God, to believe that there is truth and God's Word is truth, to believe that there is only salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you are lost for all eternity. And here we are. We are weak. But I want to say this. We are on the victory side. And that's what Joshua is being assured of by the Lord. Those men in Jericho, they might have been great and mighty, powerful, but the Lord was going to conquer Jericho for the children of Israel. We used to sing a little chorus, on the victory side, with Christ within, the fight will win on the victory side. Now, Rahab, we learnt last time, is going to be saved. But I want you to remember this. God has a people, and there's going to be a greater day than the fall of Jericho. Now think of some of the details of Jericho. God's people were to sound a trumpet. They were to give a loud shout. And Jericho would be doomed. Do you know how this world's going to end? There's going to be a trumpet. And there's going to be a loud shout of the archangel. And the Lord Jesus Christ will come again in glory. And this world will be judged. Do you remember what they did to Jericho? Verse 24, they burnt the city with fire. This world, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, this world will be burnt up with fire. Parliament will be no more. The White House will be no more. all the scenes of wickedness and sin and rebellion will be no more. Our world will be consumed by the very fire of Almighty God. But there will be a multitude, not just one like Rahab, but there will be a multitude that will be saved from that doomed world. And we will cry, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Now that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Now I might be speaking to someone tonight, and you're a Christian, but you might be weighed down with various burdens and troubles. You might find yourself in a situation, you say, well, how can I get out of this? Well, remember this. Our Lord is coming. Remember this. There are better days ahead for the Christian. Remember this. You one day will be delivered from your body of sin and death. You'll be delivered from a corrupt, evil world. And you'll be with the Lord Jesus Christ forevermore. And that's one of the great comforts of being a child of God. And if you have faith, true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that is your assurance. And that's what the Lord was saying to Joshua. There is such a thing as an assurance of faith. Those walls of Jericho will come down because the Lord says, I'll bring them down. So the assurance of faith. Now, the second thing I want you to notice is the obedience of faith. Now, verses 3, 4, and 5, the Lord instructs Joshua and Israel what to do. And they were the instructions. I'll read them to you. You shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. So once a day for 6 days. What they were to do, the seven priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horn. The 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when they hear the sound of the trumpet, and all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the walls of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend every man straight before him. Now that's what they're going to happen. All that Joshua and Israel were to do was to be obedient to the Lord's command. Now of course, the natural man would have thought like this. Well, if we're going to conquer that city, we need some good battering rams to knock the door down. We need some long ladders to get over those great walls. We need swords and spears. We need every man available to fight this great battle, to bring down the walls of Jericho, to bring down that great city. Now that's what the natural man would have thought. But remember this. God's ways are not our ways. And in every situation in life, it's not the natural that matters. It's being people of faith, obedient faith, and doing what the Lord tells us to do in His Word. I've said many times, for the Christian church today, our greatest threat, you know, is not the militant atheist out there. It's the Christians within who don't know their Bibles. That is the greatest need of our day. So that we are equipped. People of faith, people of trust, people of knowledge who know the ways of our Lord. That is the most important thing for the Christian, to love their Bible and to know their Bible and to know the ways of God, and not to surrender to the natural thinking of our minds. Now, in our chapter, it's very interesting what you find. The men of war of the children of Israel are mentioned once or twice. But the priests, the spiritual leaders of the nation, are mentioned 12 times. There is no mention of sword or spears, but trumpets are mentioned 13 times. Not a mention of a mighty army, but, did you notice as we read it, the Ark of the Covenant, or the Ark of the Lord, is mentioned 10 times. That means it's important. There's no mention of the numbers of Israel's army, but the number 7, which is an important number in Scripture, is mentioned 12 times. They were to walk around those walls in silence with the trumpets blowing once a day. And on the 7th day, they were to walk around that city 7 times. And on the 7th circuit, they were to blow the trumpets and to shout, and the walls would come down. Now that's a big lesson, isn't it? I think the Apostle Paul had this in mind when he said this. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, what a lesson that is. Tragically today, what you find when you look up churches' websites and what have you, they'll have a nice cup of coffee on there. They'll have the music on there. They'll have some food on there. They are not our weapons, folk. We can try and entice people in with those sorts of things, but that's not the real weapon. The real weapons that we have is the preaching of the Word of God, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, backed up by the prayer meeting. They are the spiritual weapons that the Apostle Paul is speaking about in that verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Prayer and preaching. Prayer and a holy life. Prayer and putting the armour of God on to withstand the enemy. This is our great need as believers. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones was once leading a prayer meeting at a minister's conference. And he stopped the prayer meeting in the middle and he said, "You men, you're like you're on holiday." In other words, there weren't much fervent, urgent prayer. And that's easy, isn't it? You can say words, but what the Lord longs is the yearning, the fervency of the heart. We're in a spiritual battle and we're to look to the Lord and be dependent upon the Lord. And that's why our prayers should be fervent and earnest as we approach the Lord. So the obedience of, they did what the Lord said. Now that's a very simple lesson, isn't it? To do things as the Lord has said. And they did it. In the world's eye, they looked foolish. They looked stupid. No doubt the people of Jericho looked over the wall and said, "What are these pathetic Israelites doing?" Well, they were doing what the Lord had told them to do. So that's the second thing, the obedience of faith. The third thing I want you to notice is the object of faith. Now, each time they walked around the walls, they were to carry the Ark of the Covenant with them. Now you remember when you thought about the crossing of the Jordan, what went into the Jordan first? It was the Ark of the Covenant. And they were to all look to the Ark of the Covenant because they knew it was the Ark of the Covenant which had stopped the River Jordan flowing. They realized there was power in the Ark. And of course we all know it was a picture about what the Ark stands for. The Ark is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, the very presence of God. Do you remember when we did the tabernacle? That ark, two materials, wood and gold, speaking of the humanity and deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the ark was the law of God, the manna, and the rod that budded to say that Aaron was God's appointed. And it all speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus is God's appointed Saviour, priest, is the manna, is the bread of life. And he is the one who obeyed the law of God completely. It so speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Ark of the Covenant. And each day they were to take the Ark of the Covenant as they did their circuit around Jericho. Just imagine, one day they say, oh, we won't bother to take the Ark today. Well, one, they'd be disobeying the Lord. But two, they wouldn't have the presence of the Lord with them. Question. When's a church not a church? Well, I'll tell you. When the Lord Jesus Christ isn't there. That's when a church isn't a church. And that's why we need to be those continually praying that nothing would disturb our fellowship and our communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's when the church is powerful. In times of revival, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes in unusual power, even the world has to stand up and look and see what is happening because of the power of God that is upon the church, the Lord Jesus Christ being present with his people. So when they went round the walls of Jericho, all eyes were upon the Ark of the Covenant. If the Ark's there, the Lord's there. That great verse in Hebrews chapter 12. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It would be so easy, wouldn't it, for those Israelites, oh, we remember our failures in the wilderness. We remember our sins. What wretched people we are. But no, they weren't to look to themselves. They were to look to the Lord, the Ark of the Covenant. And my dear friends, that's where you need to look. If you look to yourself, you will be discouraged. If you look to yourself, you will fail. My dear friend, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, if Joshua had thought about, oh, look at all the problems. Look at all the obstacles in the way. We're never going to do this. Oh, dear. The walls of Jericho would still be standing, wouldn't they? But he didn't see at the problems. He didn't see the obstacles. He saw the Ark of the Covenant. He looked unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And there would be a wonderful, wonderful victory. The Lord delights, you know, in taking the weak, the foolish things of this world, and using them as his tools, and using them in his service, so that he has all the glory, because they know all power and all strength belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. So they looked to the object of their faith, the Ark of the Covenant, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so must you, my friend, whatever your state, whatever your condition tonight, look to Christ. For in him there is strength, there is blessing, there is grace to live the Christian life. The fourth thing I want you to notice is the patience of faith. The patience of faith. Now, once a day for 6 days, they would walk around the city of Jericho. And not a crack appeared in the wall. Do you know what the liberals say about this? The liberals are ridiculous people, those who deny the authority of the Word of God. They say, ah, well, because they walked around Jericho so much, they disturbed the foundations, that's why the walls fell down. What a ridiculous suggestion. It was a miracle. And that's what the liberals do. They do not like the miraculous in the Bible. But there, the soldiers, people of Israel, they walked around every day. But on the seventh day, did you notice verse 15? Came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day, and can pass the city after the same manner seven times. Only on that day they can pass the city seven times. Did you notice? They rose up at dawn. You see, faith is not only obedient, but faith isn't lazy. They got on to obey the commandment that the Lord had given. And this is what we find on the seventh day. They walked round once, twice, three times, no cracks yet. They're still firm, the walls are still firm. Will their faith be firm to the end? I'll make a little application of that in a moment. Four, five, six. And on the seventh time, they blew the trumpets. They gave a great shout. And the walls of Jericho fell down. The day the walls came down. The patience of faith. One of the great characters of a Christian should be patience. So many have given up on gospel work because they haven't been patient. They wanted instant success. It doesn't work like that, folks. Some Christians give up on Bible reading regularly. They think, oh, this is a bit hard going. They give up on prayer. Oh, this is a bit difficult. But there is such a thing as the patience of faith. You keep going. And if you're a true Christian, we believe here, in the perseverance of the saints, true Christians go on. Despite the obstacles and despite the difficulties, despite the heartaches, they just keep going. Because there's such a thing called the patience of faith. Lovely verse in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, it says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Isn't that lovely? I might be speaking to someone tonight. You're finding it hard going as a Christian. Keep going. Keep reading your Bible. Keep praying. Keep seeking opportunities to speak to someone about the Lord. Just keep coming to the meetings. The patience of faith. And you will be blessed. Because the perseverance of the saints shows that you are a real Christian. You're not like the seed that grew up. It looked so good, but then it just withered away. But if you're a true Christian, you go on. And the Lord says, you'll bear fruit. So there's the assurance of faith, the obedience of faith, the object of faith, the patience of faith. One last thing. The triumph of faith. The triumph of faith. The walls came down. Jericho was conquered. That wicked nation, with all their sins and rebellion against God, and they were wicked. That's why judgment came. Do you remember, once again, we refer to this a lot of times, Genesis chapter 15, verse 16, it says, "But in the fourth generation," that's where we are, folk, "they shall come hither again into the land of Canaan, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full." When the walls of Jericho came down, the iniquity, the cup of iniquity that the Canaanites, the Amorites had committed was full. And it was God's day for judgment. And that's what happened. A great judgment came upon the Canaanites. And it's just worth reminding ourselves that the falling of the walls of Jericho, it's not just some nice little children's story. It's a somber reminder that God is not mocked. There will be a judgment for every sin that is committed in this world. And there will be a day when every man and woman will have to stand before Almighty God. Well, that day, the walls did come down. And I should imagine the Israelites, they said to themselves, praise the Lord. And they learned that day what God said. His promises can be trusted and relied upon. And I hope you've got that sort of faith, folk, that you believe the word of God. If God says something, he means it and he will fulfill it. And the walls of Jericho came down. And of course, we have the lovely account at the end of the chapter about how Rahab, that dear woman with no local church, she had the ministry of Moses, but in a wonderful way, she had come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says in that verse 31 of Hebrews 11, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. Isn't that a miracle? That dear woman, out of all the multitudes in that great city, she was saved. I wonder, are you saved tonight? You see, the people of Jericho didn't believe. Have you ever read this verse in John's Gospel? It says this, chapter 3 and verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. I don't think that'd be a very popular verse today, but it's true because God says it's true. Belief in the Lord Jesus will get you to heaven. But if you don't believe the gospel of God's dear Son and you're in unbelief, notice what it says, the wrath of God is upon such a person. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. I might be speaking to someone, whether here or on the internet, and the gates of your heart are firmly closed against the Lord. You're fighting a battle. You're not going to let the Lord into your life. Well, can I say tonight, put up the white flag of surrender and come and trust Christ as your Saviour so you do not perish with those who do not believe. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, many of us, as we bow in thy presence, we thank you for the day when you came in your irresistible grace and broke every barrier down. And we surrendered to thyself, we believed thy word, and we trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour. Oh, our gracious God, we thank you for that day in our lives. And if there be any amongst us who know nothing of that wonderful experience of conversion, we pray, Lord, please, even tonight, you would come and show them that they need Christ to be their Saviour. And Lord, we pray, and that they would surrender to their sin and to themselves, and that they would come to the Saviour, we pray. Thank you for the wonderful account of this great miracle in thy word of the falling of the walls of Jericho. We give you all the praise and all the glory for your mighty acts. Hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.